Welcome, everybody, to Jawanza for Life. My name is Jawanza. The show is also known as Health, Wealth, and Divine because that's what we talk about. We talk about your health, we talk about your wealth, and we talk about your divinity. I am very, very excited to bring back a guest that is a regular on Jawanza for Life. She is just powerful, powerful, powerful. And if you're hearing this show for the first time, and if you're going to hear my guest, Dr. Ruby Lathan, for the very first time, you are in for a treat. She is just full of so much information, just knowledge, information, and experience. You know, there are sometimes when, even when, let's say, I'm just using an example, when it comes to even applying for work, sometimes they'll substitute experience for education, okay? You might not have the education, but if you've done it, you know what I mean, they might let you in the door and you can still, you know, you've proven that, hey, you can do the job. Now, but when you couple those two, when you take experience and education and put those two together, then, I mean, that's a dynamic combination. And I guarantee you, when you hear this show today and you hear the experience and you're going to hear the education, and you'll realize that who you're listening to is somebody that you need to listen to and that you need to tell others about so that they can listen to her as well. Well, today's show is going to be on pancreatic cancer, the cause and the cure. Pancreatic cancer, the cause and the cure. Again, my special guest today is Dr. Lathan, and in case you don't know who she is, you're tuning in for the first time. Dr. Lathan is a certified holistic nutritionist and advocate for plant-based nutrition. Dr. Lathan inspires with a powerful story of recovering from thyroid cancer through alternative treatment focused on a whole foods, plant-based diet. Dr. Ruby served as a researcher and an award-winning engineer and now teaches others how to re-engineer their health and live disease-free. She's a graduate of the University of Alabama, served as nutrition policy manager at the Physicians Committee for Responsible Medicine, where she developed and led a national grassroots campaign to advocate legislation for more healthful plant-based meal options in the National School Lunch Program. Dr. Lathan is host of The Veggie Chest, which is a plant-based cooking show. And through her organization, Roadmap to Holistic Health, she hosts a number of healthful conferences, workshops, and vegan cooking classes, and provides customized nutritional consultations. So I guarantee you that when you hear this powerhouse, this pioneer in holistic health, you are going to wonder why you haven't made the switch a long time ago, if you haven't. Dr. Lathan, it's always a pleasure. I bow to you, my sister. Great to have you back. I can't wait to get into this interview because I know that it's going to be full of powerful information that our listeners can use and benefit from. Thank you so much for being my guest again today.
Thank you for having me. Happy to be back.
My pleasure, my pleasure. I was just commenting with Dr. Lathan how fast the time is flying. I mean, it's like September already, and the summer just went by so fast. And I look at shows that we've done, and it, you know, it's like, wow, it's been a year since we did that show. I mean, just time is just flying. And I want to encourage everybody to go down the archives. You can actually, if you're tuning in for the first time, follow this show. If you follow this show on Blog Talk Radio, then every time we have a show, you'll be you'll get the advertisement, or you'll get the what's the word I'm looking for? It's escaping me. They'll let you know in advance that the show is coming on and or coming up, and then you can determine if it's something that you want to hear. But you'll be notified. That's the word I was looking for. You'll be notified of the show before we do the show, and then that way it gives you a heads up, and you can plan to be present at the show. So let me let everybody know, if you have a question during the course of this interview and you'd like to say hi to Dr. Lathan or ask a question, all you have to do is just press 1, and then I can bring you on board, and you can ask your question. The call-in number is 347-324-5727. Again, that's 347-324-5727. For all of you who've heard Dr. Lathan's testimony, you already know why you're listening to her. But for those who don't, I'm going to ask Dr. Lathan if you would please share what got you started in holistic health. I was speaking with a cousin today, 86 years old, and I asked him if he would tune into the show today, and he said that he would. So I just want to give a shout out to John. Thank you so much, my brother, for tuning in. And I want you to hear this testimony, Brother John, and you got to hear this, because when you hear it, and everybody, when you hear it, you're going to know that the person that you're listening to is, I talked about experience earlier, okay? I talked about experience. This is the experience part. You know, why are you listening to Dr. Lathan? This is the experience part. You've read or heard the testimony, not the testimony, but the bio where it talked about her education. Now, here's the experience part. Dr. Lathan, if you don't mind, would you share with our listeners what brought you to the holistic health path? Because a lot of times people don't aspire as children growing up. If somebody asks you, what do you want to be when you grow up? Most people don't say, oh, I want to be a holistic health expert, you know. So how did you get on board? What brought you to the path?
Sure. Yeah, it wasn't something I thought about or even nutrition. You know, it was cancer in 2007, and as most people, I was shocked by the diagnosis of thyroid cancer. So I think what I did, some people do what I did and start looking at alternative therapies. A lot just go with the program, which is totally understandable because it's a very fearful thing, and you usually just go with what you're told to do when you're dealing with cancer. But I decided to look into natural treatment, natural remedy for it, because I had heard of other people successfully doing it. So I started, I decided not to do surgery and research cancer and how it's caused and how to heal the body naturally. And I found that, you know, the basis of it was in nutrition and food and supplementation, which made a lot of sense, because that's, you know, that's oftentimes how we get cancer, through our food and lack of the right nutrients. So the research just showed that a plant-based diet was one of the most effective diets in combating cancer. So a really good, clean, whole food diet, low in sugar and processed foods and things like that. So I switched to that whole food, plant-based diet, and I was able to, you know, with the aid of supplementation, reverse the cancer in about a year with just changing diet and lifestyle, stress, things like that. So I was really excited about this, because it was a long process, you know, scary at times, but, you know, I learned a lot, quite a bit. You know, during this whole study, I kept studying about, you know, how the body works and the supplementation and all of that. And so I felt like I had a new handle on things, and that, you know, the basis of disease prevention and recovery really isn't that difficult. The more you know, obviously, but that it really deals with food and eating real food, whole food, unprocessed food, plant-based food, what we're meant to eat. And so after I was able to heal myself with that diet, just changing what I ate, changing, you know, stress factors and adding in meditation and visualization, I was able to heal the cancer. You know, folks wanted to know how I did it, and it kind of opened up a whole new avenue for me, and I really wanted to help other people either prevent or help reverse illnesses that can be mostly easily reversed through food. I mean, almost every illness that we deal with today starts with our digestive system and what we're taking in. I would say the majority of them, from cancer to arthritis, okay? So that's a big spectrum. From cancer to arthritis, most of those things are directly related to food and can be prevented or reversed by what we put in our diet. So we think that, you know, what does arthritis have to do with what we're eating? It's just old age. It's not. And what does cancer have to do with what we're eating? It has everything. So I think, you know, what I've learned is that, and just the more I've studied, it's like pretty much every ailment that we're dealing with comes from the garbage food that we're being fed by the industry that isn't feeding us food but feeding us cheap food-like products so they can make money. And that's why so many people are coming up with allergies and cancers and all these weird things and IBS and things that were not around when I was growing up, you know, early on, things that were less common. And that's because the food has gotten worse and worse and worse and less like food. It's more and more processed because they can make more money. So it's like even the dairy products have gotten worse, and we know we shouldn't even be eating that. But that has even gotten worse than where it was 30 years ago. So as the food gets less like food and more pumped with pharmaceutical garbage, we are reaping the results of it with incredible amounts of illness, which can be avoided if we just know what to do and what not to eat and what to eat instead.
You know, it just, as I'm listening to you, it's very, very clear to me that education is important, because I'm sure that if they did a study on vegans and vegetarians and non-vegans and non-vegetarians, you would probably find, and this is a guess, but I think it's a, you know, it's a hypothesis, it's an educated guess. I think that you would probably find that people, there are probably more people that are vegan that may have some college, okay? Mm-hmm. Unless you were born into, say, a family that was vegan, then because you have to actually do the research. You have to actually pick up a book, read a book. I mean, if you're going to decide to make that change from, you know, being a meat eater to a non-meat eater, it's normally done based on facts. It's based on something you've read, and not just something you've heard, but something that you've read. And that's why shows like this, information like this, that's why I really applaud Dr. Lathan for teaching people how to do it, showing people how to do it, because a lot of times people aren't going to necessarily, although, you know, reading is important, a lot of people aren't going to read the medical journals that Dr. Lathan may have read when she was doing her research, but they will listen to somebody who's done that. That's why you have people that are so trusting of the medical establishment. They might not have read what the doctor has read, but because the doctor has got the Pell or the doctor has got the plaque on the wall, they assume that the doctor knows what the doctor's talking about. He's gone to school. Why do they trust him? Because he's, quote, educated, end quote. Okay, so we have to re-educate ourselves when it comes to holistic health, because from the time we were a child, many of us saw the food chart. Many of us grew up seeing that you should have X amount of glasses of milk, X amount of, I mean, meat was on the food chart, you know, I mean, for God's sake. So could you talk about, Dr. Lathan, the importance of even educating and surrounding yourself with people who know? Because a lot of times people don't know, and they listen to other people who don't know. For example, you could take somebody who says, okay, you know what, I'm thinking about this. I'm thinking about, I heard this show called Jawanza for Life, and they're talking about vegan, becoming a vegan, but I don't really know anything about that. Now, somebody else might say, who doesn't know? Oh, that stuff, man, no, that stuff. That, I knew somebody who tried that stuff, man, and they died, you know. So could you talk about the importance of doing your own research, in addition to, because by the end of this show, somebody's going to want to call you. But in addition to calling you, they need to validate what you're saying by doing their own research, which will add conviction to the process when they decide that they want to, in fact, let go of the meat, the dairy, the sugar, the processed foods, and adopt a better and healthier lifestyle.
Yeah, I mean, you do have to watch who you're listening to, for starters, when you get health information. A lot of people who aren't healthy like to give health information and usually, you know, you get information from people who aren't willing to change or try something different themselves, so they discourage you from doing it. That happens all the time. So you really have to be an independent thinker on this and not go with the flow. I always joke that people become nutritionists as soon as you become vegan, but they'll watch you eat hamburgers and fries every day for lunch from the fast food place across the street and wash it down with the soda and never say a word. As you gain an extra 10, 15 pounds every year, say nothing to you about your diet. And then you say, yeah, I'm going to try this vegan thing, or you just start eating vegan, and then all of a sudden, you know, that's not healthy. What? What about the burger and fries I was eating every day? Was that healthy? It's like how it's amazing to me how this will happen repeatedly. I mean, over and over and over again, you will see that happen. And it's like it's just the conditioning and the brainwashing that has been extremely successful in our society to say that things are healthy for you actually are not. And so that is one thing. So, you know, you have to be prepared for the pop-up nutritionist or people as soon as you decide to switch. And what you just want to do is educate yourself and use some common sense. Get out of the group think that everybody does. Oh, we always do it this way. My grandmother ate this for 50 years. Your grandmother wasn't eating the food we're eating, you know? She didn't have super processed GMO, Monsanto-laden garbage that we're eating now. So you can't go on what your grandmother did or your great-grandmother did. They had better food in every way. Mm-hmm. The soil was better. We didn't have all these things that are going on now. The food manufacturing system was not corrupted and broken down in the way that it is now. So the food is not the same. That's number one. Number two, you really want to work with somebody who knows what they're doing, who's been there, who's done it before, who has, you know, helped other people successfully transition to a healthy diet or heal from something. That's who you want to talk to, not just, you know, folks who have no clue. And there are tons of movies out there. If you're not a person who wants to read articles and on the web, because there's a lot out there, I get that. You can at least educate yourself with the number of documentaries that are out that are put it in easy-to-understand forms for you to understand and digest. I mean, reading is fundamental because, you know, all movies aren't accurate, but a lot, so you want to just develop a habit of, you know, taking in new information in multiple forms, including reading, lots of books out there, but you can at least take 90 minutes to watch a documentary and then weigh that information and see what makes sense to you. So education is key. Then surrounding yourself with people who are healthy and like-minded, and if you have friends who aren't, that's fine. Just know that you don't take advice from them. You know?
Right. So I like you, but I ain't listening to what you're saying.
Exactly.
Right now, anyway. Everybody, my special guest is Dr. Ruby Lathan. If you'd like to join the conversation, we're going to be talking about pancreatic cancer. You know, cancer, Doc, is a big one for a lot of people. Cancer is one of those diseases that everybody knows somebody that's died from it, you know. We might not all know somebody who's died, you know, from complications related to diabetes. We might not all know somebody who's died of complications related to heart trouble, but it appears that everybody knows somebody who's died from cancer, some type of cancer, whether it's breast cancer, liver cancer, colon cancer, prostate cancer, in this show's case, pancreatic cancer. What if we could just define, before we get into the specific type of cancer that we're going to be discussing tonight, which again is going to be pancreatic cancer, what is cancer? So that we can know, we talk about education. This is going to be part of that, your education, everybody, tonight. You're going to get education tonight. Okay, what is cancer? What is actually going on with the cells when the doctor comes and gives this report and says, you've been diagnosed, we found some cancerous cells? What exactly is the doctor saying when he says that, or she says that?
Well, basically, cancer is cells gone rogue. So it's like there's a system and there's a process of our cells and how they're supposed to operate and how they regenerate themselves, and they die off, they regenerate, they die off. That's how it's supposed to work. When cancer shows up, it decides not to follow the playbook. It says, okay, we're rogue cells. It's like a gang who wants to take over the world. So it comes in and sets up shop in whatever organ it decides, and sometimes that's predicated on, you know, any weakness in the body or something that you've been ingesting either environmentally or physically or emotionally that has weakened a particular organ or area in your body, and that's where maybe the cancer might show up. If you're eating lots of garbage food and lots of meat, not very much fiber, it might want to show up in the colon or the digestive system. If your hormones are way off, reproductive hormones, it might show up in the breast or, you know, something like that, or wherever. I mean, there's like innumerable places to show up in the body. In the case of pancreatic cancer, if you have diabetes or you drink a lot or something like that, it might decide to show up in the pancreas. So when it sets up shop, it starts growing, replicating itself out of control and kind of taking over the area, and instead of dying off, it spreads or it grows bigger and it causes a tumor, and then the body goes into reaction mode because it's like, okay, we've got rogue cells in aisle one, let's go do something about it. And if the body is strong enough and has a big enough, strong enough immune system, it takes care of it and says, okay, you got to go out. It takes it out of the body. If the immune system is not strong enough, it fights, but it doesn't always win. And so then it'll try to maybe encapsulate it in a tumor to keep it from spreading, or it'll try to fight. And then maybe you start eating a little better, and it gets stronger, and it starts fighting a little more, and then there's this back and forth. But ultimately, it is cells gone rogue and proliferating as they should not, growing as they should not, and then they start taking over the organ in the body and spreading and metastasizing, impairing the function of those organs and breaking them down. And that's cancer. And then when it gets out of control, it takes over the organ or spreads to other parts of the body, and then we die.
Well, if we could talk about for a moment, are there specific foods or substances that directly affect the pancreas? Like, we know, for example, that too much drinking can cause problems with the liver. I mean, there's a direct correlation between, you know, drinking alcohol and, you know, a bad liver or, you know, but when it comes to the pancreas, are there certain foods or substances that directly affect the pancreas? Like, you know, if you eat too much, hypothetically, if you just eat, you know, too much dairy is going to affect specifically the pancreas, or, you know, not enough water. Are there any direct correlations when it comes to diet and the pancreas?
The most direct has been alcohol, excess alcohol, and smoking. So those two things that put you on a very high risk category for that. You know, they haven't really identified, I mean, it's like this with almost every cancer. There's like, there's no real, we don't know for sure what exactly causes it. I'm like, I don't believe that. But anyway, it's not published. It's not out there what the exact mechanism for the cause of it is. But obviously, smoking causes cancer all over the body. But it particularly, I guess, affects obviously the lungs and the liver and the pancreas. So those things are going to do that. And then alcohol is an inflammatory food or substance that can cause pancreatitis. It means your pancreas is inflamed. It doesn't have cancer yet, but it's getting inflamed. And that constant inflammation causes cancer. So anything that causes your pancreas to inflame is going to eventually lead most likely to cancer. So I would say, you know, while there's no list of these food causes cancer or these food causes pancreatic cancer. I mean, we do know some foods that cause colon cancer for sure, or, you know, increase your risk of colon cancer by, you know, 30%+ are, you know, processed meats for sure. There's lots of evidence that shows processed meats, meaning anything that has been smoked or cured, or bologna, pepperoni, salami, turkey slices, all that kind of stuff, hot dogs, breakfast sausages, it's all in the processed meat category. All of those significantly increase your risk of colorectal cancer and others. So we do know those foods. At least those are the foods they've decided to admit to, okay? But we know, you know, any food that's going to cause inflammation in the body is going to not be a good thing. And so we have to, you know, look at those types of food. And that's usually processed sugar, that's meat, that's dairy, that's junk food, highly processed food. And then there are foods that we don't consider junk food, but they're just as processed as junk food. A lot of the frozen dinners and things like that that are processed with so much garbage in them, they might as well be in the junk food category. So, you know, and obviously the processed meats and things that, you know, we got Lunchables and things like that have processed meat as, you know, let's give them meat, cheese, and crackers for lunch. Not a good idea. That's all inflammatory food. So, you know, that would be the broad category of inflammatory foods are what cause that, can cause that. Obviously, it doesn't cause it in everybody. Like, everybody's body is different in how it's going to react to it, how strong the immune system is, what your mental state is. All of that has a factor. So, you know, it gets back to people saying, well, my cousin, uncle, aunt, grandmother, great-grandfather, da-da-da-da-da, you finish the sentence, used to smoke every day and have a cup of coffee, and they lived to be 95. I was like, that's an anomaly. That's not how it normally goes. And you don't know, you know, their whole constitution and the way they lived was probably different. You know, my grandmother lived out in the country. She didn't have a super stressful life. So I can't say, oh, if I just do what she did, I'm going to get those results or whatever. And so everybody's body is different. How you're reacting to stress, how you're reacting to the food you're taking in, what you're taking in, how happy you are in life, you know, your social economic status, how you feel about that, all of that is a factor. So you can decide to play a game, Russian roulette with it, and see if you win, but it's not stacked in your favor when you eat that kind of thing.
You know, you mentioned the example that people gave about, or give about, you know, my grandma, my great-grandpa, they lived to be 95 or whatever, and they smoked and drank and, you know, got high, whatever, you know. But what they don't say, see, they say the age, but they don't say in many cases that grandma was in a wheelchair. They just say the age. She lived to be 95. They didn't say she was in a wheelchair. They didn't say she was, you know, walking with a cane or had a walker. You know, they just give the age. They don't say that, you know, she was 95 and, you know, running every day. They don't say that she was 95 and in good health.
The quality of life, right? Yeah, there's a big difference.
They don't
say
that she had arthritis, you know, or high blood pressure or heart trouble. You know, they just give the age, you know. So, you know, I just want to put that out there, too, because like Dr. Lathan said, you know, you can try it, and if the odds are not stacked in your favor, and it's being proven more and more every day. I mean, when the World Health Organization comes out and admits that, I believe it was chicken, is carcinogenic, then this is not somebody just, this is not hearsay. This is not somebody just, you know, oh, you know, my cousin told me that, you know, cancer is not good for you. When the World Health Organization comes out and makes a statement and calls something carcinogenic, you really need to pay attention to it. I mean, you can continue on like you didn't hear that information, like a lot of people do. They'll just continue on. They hear it, but they just pretend like they didn't hear it. Like, you know, we have options. You know, I know that if I ever get, matter of fact, I was speaking to somebody one day, and the brother had diabetes. And I was sharing with him about holistic health and why he should consider it. And he was like, well, you know, I know that, you know, if I ever get cancer, you know, I'm not gonna let them cut me. You know, if I ever get cancer, I'll go with the holistic health. But you know, his brother's got diabetes, all right. But he's waiting on cancer, okay?
Right. The diabetes will take him out before the cancer. You know, and not only that, diabetes is a risk factor for cancer.
Hmm. Wow. Well, doctor, can we talk about meat? You mentioned meat for a second. What role would meat play in someone contacting pancreatic cancer? And the reason I ask that is because I know people who listen to this show regularly know that we promote a vegan lifestyle, okay? But then there are those who tune in who might not be vegan, you know? And I know that hearing it once might not do the trick, okay? So sometimes we have to hear things again and again and again and again, and one day then the light goes on. It's like, oh, I got it. Okay. So, Doc, what role would meat play in somebody contacting pancreatic cancer or any cancer for that matter? But since we're talking about pancreatic cancer.
Yeah. Well, meat obviously is an acidic food, so it causes acid in the body. And so it's going to be on the inflammatory list of foods. So anytime you're eating meat, and most people say, oh, now the popular thing is to say they eat clean meat, meaning it's not the factory farmed regular meat that everybody else is eating. If you're eating traditional meat, meaning you're eating at any chain restaurant whatsoever, they're using factory farmed meat nine times out of ten. There might be the anomaly that has decided to use, you know, better meats. But, you know, nine times out of ten, they're using meat from a factory farm. Factory farm means they're treating the animals like widgets, like non-sentient breathing beings. So they're just pumping them up with all kinds of antibiotics and hormones so they grow faster. Very unnatural, disgusting, inhumane, very sad, depressing environment for all involved. And so the animals are sick. And that's why they're giving them antibiotics just off the cuff, because they want to keep them alive long enough to get them to the slaughterhouse. Without that, they wouldn't make it, and they wouldn't make as much money. They give them the growth hormone so they can get their money as fast as possible, so they can continue this, because our meat consumption has gone through the roof. Not when our grandmothers were around, when we were eating a lot less meat. That's the other thing. Even when people were eating meat 30, 40, 50 years ago, they were eating a lot less of it. We have made it more accessible and cheaper because of government subsidies and other things. So we're eating a lot more of it. So the meat is not only bad for you in terms of it's hard for your body to digest flesh of animals, and you're adding additional hormones to your body because it's a hormone of the animal. You're adding bad karma to your system. If you don't believe in karma, let's just call it bad energy, because these animals are in distress when they're killed. So they're in a very miserable life, their entire life, and tortured in many cases, and then they have a terrible death, and then you just consume all that. So you have all those pieces wrapped together, and it's an acidic food, and it's got, and most likely the animal is sick and probably has cancer itself. So, and they don't stop the line to say, oh, that's a sick one, let's take that out. Oh, what's that abscess? The line is going so fast at inhumane speeds. People are losing fingers trying to chop up chickens on the line fast enough. People are wearing Depends underwear and diapers on the line because it's going so fast they don't have time for bathroom breaks. These are the conditions of the meat that we're eating. So you're taking that in. So you're taking in a product that shouldn't be consumed anyway, and then you're making it as toxic as you possibly can. I mean, you can't get more toxic than that. And because the lines are going so fast, feces often get everywhere, all over the meat. So then they dip it in ammonia, which is another thing that's toxic to you, just so the feces won't make you sick and kill you. They try to kill that with the ammonia and other all kinds of other things. and then package it up and feed it to you. So I don't think you can get more toxic than that. And then if that's not enough, they want to make more money, so they take the chickens and then pump it up with saline solution to make it fatter so they can sell it by the pound and charge you more money for now a high salt ridden food. That, so it's like you cannot make this up. It can't get worse than that. And then, but it can. We can add food coloring to it and all kinds of fake food coloring to it because the meat is rotting. So we're going to add fake food coloring to the fish that looks gray and dead, because it is. We add food coloring to the beef because it looks gray and dead, which it is. And we're going to add all kinds of coloring to whatever we want so that it looks nice and pretty for you, like it just came off the line, so that you'll buy it. So we have the worst conditions the animal's raised in. Then we have saline solution pumped up. We've got ammonia, and then we've got food coloring on top of it. And then you bring that home and fry it up in a pan. And then you fry it, which makes it even worse. So it's like, this is like, it's a formula for death, and that's why we're so sick and dying. That is why everybody knows somebody with cancer.
And then stick it in the microwave the next day on top of it. Huh?
Exactly. And we wonder why we have so many illnesses, and so even if you don't have cancer, we're running around with like 100 different illnesses. Everybody's on like, 100 different medications because they're sick and they haven't made the connection to the food. So it's like, it is very odd for you to go to the doctor's office and say, when they ask you what medications are you taking, they don't ask you if you're taking medications. They ask you what medications are you taking, because they're assuming you're on something, because the majority of Americans have to take some medication for some ailment. It's like high blood pressure is just commonplace. So everybody's on a statin, which causes cancer and other things, and digestive issues. Everybody's on something. Everybody's got a little bit of something. I've got eczema over here. I've got asthma over here. I've got IBS over here. Or I've just got a little, acid reflux over here. So everybody's on a little something that is making one industry incredibly rich. So while we're dying, and so we just start living with it. We start living with our asthma. We start living with our chronic allergies that get worse. We start living with all these diseases that shouldn't be there. From just any little thing that shouldn't be there, but we just take a medication for it like it's nothing, and then it starts adding up, and then something else pops up, and then something else pops up, and then by the time you get to the fifth one, you're like, wait a minute now. Maybe I need to do something about this, because these are too many pills I'm taking. That's usually what wakes people up, when they get to the fifth or the sixth pill, and they're like, "What this?" And they're not feeling better on top of it. Then they wake up and say, wait a minute, maybe I should, do something a little different, when hopefully they had a good healthcare professional would tell them, there's something you can do about this right now before this gets out of hand.
Doc, you just, earlier, I know you just messed up somebody's dinner. you just messed
the
up somebody.
Will set you free.
The truth will make you free. That's right. I mean, but we don't think about that. We don't think about the things that you just said. I mean, and as a result of not thinking about it, like you mentioned, there's a whole establishment out there, the medical establishment, that's getting rich. And one of the things that always troubled me is that when the patient ultimately succumbs to the disease, I mean, or the treatment, they just die. They end up dying. The doctor still gets paid. He gets paid whether you live or whether you die. He doesn't get paid any less because you die. That insurance might stop. I mean, he might not get any more for that insurance, but, I mean, he doesn't get, it's not like they cut his check or, hey, the patient died, we're going to reduce your salary by X amount because you weren't successful. I mean, he gets the same amount of money as if he did it right, And so while the family is going to the funeral, the doctor is going to the bank. And so I'm sure that they've become very, very trained at meeting the family when they have to step out into the hallway in the white coat and they, you know, put on the somber look or whatever. And let me say this. I'm not saying that doctors are necessarily bad people. I'm not saying that a doctor is necessarily a bad individual. They love their family too, right? But if a doctor prescribes you allopathic medicine that's going to kill you ultimately, and or your children or your family, whether it's intentional, whether it's knowingly or unknowingly, I would even go as far as to say it's probably in most cases unknowingly. Okay, because was it you, Dr. Lathan, that mentioned that doctors have stated that they've only had X amount of hours of nutrition when it came to their training. So in many cases, they really truly don't know. But whether a doctor knows or does not know, the result is still the same. The person still dies. You still have the funeral. Does it make you feel better knowing that, well, the doctor didn't know what he was doing? You know, people sue people for that, you know. They malpractice. They didn't know what they was doing, you know what I mean? So would it make you feel better to know, or worse, that if your loved one died as a result of following a recommendation given by a physician, taking allopathic medication that was prescribed by a physician, would it make you feel better or worse knowing that, or feeling that, the doctor knew that this was going to kill my mama, or the doctor didn't know? Would it make you feel better if the doctor didn't know? No, you wouldn't feel any less because the doctor didn't know. If anything, it might anger you because you'd be wondering, well, why is he a doctor? Okay? If he doesn't know, why is he practicing medicine if he doesn't know? But if he does know, then, of course, you would think that that's insidious, right? That that's criminal, right? So either way, whether the doctor knows or whether the doctor doesn't know and prescribes your loved one allopathic medicine and they succumb to that and they die, the result is still the same. He or she goes to the bank while you go to the funeral. So now the question is, do we continue down this road, this cycle, okay? Do we continue on just doing the same thing, getting the same results, or do we listen to people like Dr. Lathan, who says, hey, I didn't get in that line. I cured myself of thyroid cancer. I did something different. I did the research. The literature showed that, you know, people that followed a particular regimen, a dietary regimen, lived longer, were able to reverse conditions. Do I continue to eat meat, dairy, sugar, and all of the things that cause cancer, when the literature shows that there's another way? Just something to make you go, Well, Doc, back to pancreatic cancer. A lot of times we just don't know our bodies. And when people hear about the pancreas and it's like, okay, that's just another form of cancer. Well, the pancreas is an organ in the body. Okay, Doc, could you talk about the pancreas and the role of the pancreas? So, because that's one of the things we need to know more of. I mean, we need to know our bodies more. A lot of people, it's like, if you ask somebody, where's your pancreas? It's like asking them, where's Zimbabwe on the map, you know? what is the role of the pancreas, and why is it important that we understand our body and the food that affects these various organs?
Right. Pancreas kind of sits behind the stomach, and it's the role is that it creates the digestive enzymes that helps us break down food. It also regulates our blood sugars. So those are two important things, which is why diabetes is a factor for you know, pancreatic cancer, because it has to do with the regulation of the blood glucose and things like that. And so when that's off, that's obviously going to be an issue with the pancreas. So that's one reason that that's a factor. But it helps us break down the food. So when the pancreas isn't working properly, you know, you might have a harder problem digesting food. I have pain in the stomach and weight loss, and the food is just not being processed properly. You might get jaundice, which is yellowing of the eyes because, you know, things are getting blocked. Certain bile, certain chemicals are getting blocked in the system. So the pancreas is a big deal because you have to break food down in order to absorb nutrients from it. And so when you don't eat enough, if you don't have enough enzymes, because the pancreas isn't working properly, then you're not going to get proper nutrition, which sets you up for other things, including obviously cancer. But so it's a very important function. I mean, we can add enzymes to our food by eating more raw food too. So that's an option. But we still need the pancreas to do the bulk of the work. But you know, the more we can help it do its job by, you know, giving it food that doesn't need so much breaking down, then the better off we are.
Well, what if you take somebody, Dr. Lathan, who has been diagnosed with pancreatic cancer, and they're coming to this information after they started treatment, and they're thinking, dang, I wish I'd have heard this show 3 months ago. They're already giving me chemo or radiation or whatever. How could somebody who's hearing this information after they've already started treatment, what would be your recommendation? I mean, I know, you know, we have to be very, very sensitive about giving medical advice, but what would you, is there anything that you could share concerning how it would best be approached for somebody that might be hearing this show and they've already started treatment and they want to, they're hearing this show and they want to go this way, but the doctor is saying, no, you know, I wouldn't stop my chemo if I were you. What would be your suggestion?
Well, anytime you start eating healthier is going to be a good thing. So whether you're doing chemo or not, changing your diet is going to increase your chances of recovery and survival. So there's no downside to eating more plant foods, eating, you know, less meat and less junk food, less sugar, less dairy. There's no downside to that. So you really want to, you know, whether you're ready to switch or not, you know, you can always combine traditional treatments with natural treatments as well, but if you can also stop course and do something different. So it's really up to you. Many people go through a round of chemo or something else and decide, yeah, I'm not doing any more of that, and decide to do something different. So it's really knowing that you have the option to do what feels right to you, and doing that, and don't feel boxed in. A lot of people feel like they have to do what, you know, someone has told them to do when they really don't. You know, it's totally in your hands. It's your life. So, you know, just know that the option is totally up to you, and you can switch course at any time.
Everybody, I see the phone lines are lit. If you have a question for Dr. Lathan, all you have to do is press 1. You'd like to make a comment, all you have to do is just press 1 on your telephone, and it will let me know that you would like to come on the air, and I'll bring you on board. Dr. Lathan, this is a very, very powerful show. I think that a lot of times when it comes to whether it's cancer or any other ailment, when we talk about prevention, water is going to be a big plus if we could just drink enough water. Could you talk about water in the cells and maybe even the cleansing of the cells, with flushing the toxins from the cells, because it's going to be very, very important, even if somebody is not on a holistic regimen. They're not, let's say you take somebody that's a meat eater. They eat meat, dairy, sugar, and all that stuff. It seems that it would be much more beneficial for them to, I mean, they need to be drinking water like crazy. I mean, just simply because to try to flush out some of the toxins that they're intaking by the bad food. But if you combine the eating of bad foods with on top of not drinking enough water, then that just seems like you're really setting yourself up. So could you talk about the importance of drinking enough water, even as it relates to flushing the cells, and especially if you are not eating a proper plant-based diet? Because when stuff gets stuck and stagnated, you're really asking for trouble.
Sure. Most of our body runs on water, so a lot of things don't work well when we don't have enough of it. So you do cause, from things just starting as simple as, constipation, which chronic constipation leads to other illnesses, to definitely disease. So, the brain functions on it. It brings on early dementia and sometimes linked to Alzheimer's. Not having enough water, linked to things like back pain, just a whole number of things that you wouldn't even connect, migraine headaches, regular headaches, just all kinds of things are linked to not having enough water, and that's such a simple solution. Just drink more water. You should be drinking about half your body weight in ounces of water every day. So, if you're not close to that, you need to bump it up significantly. And a lot of little ailments will clear up just by having enough water in the system.
And so we're not talking about tap water. There might be somebody
right
out there that, that goes to the tap and gets the water. What's wrong with tap water, Doc? It's a rhetorical question, but I'll ask it anyway.
Yeah, well, as you know, there's a lot of chemicals in tap water. They try to purify it, but it's not enough from chlorine, the fluoride, to other things that aren't good for the brain or the body. It's usually very acidic as well. So you need some purification on your sink or either buy purified water or refill it at somewhere that produces purified water. It's really terribly important not to just consume regularly tap water because of all the chemicals and things that are, heavy metals and things that are often in tap water.
Do you prefer distilled or spring or reverse osmosis?
I do a combination of like all of those. I mean, distilled is great, but it doesn't have the natural minerals that other, like that spring water has. So sometimes I do distilled, and sometimes I do the reverse osmosis because I refill my water bottles where they do, several cleansing things to it, including mm-hmm. reverse osmosis. So, and spring water is fine if it's really from a spring. So I think, I think any of those are good. Anything other than tap and making sure it's a good filtration.
In the remaining moments, Doc, let's talk for a moment back to the risk factors. So people out there, if you're smoking or if you're obese or just talking about some of the risk factors, even it says over age over 45, and it says that men are more likely to get pancreatic cancer than women. Any thoughts on why that might be, Doctor?
I really don't know. I did see that. I'm thinking maybe because men smoke more than women do or drink more. They tend to drink more and smoke more often. So I would assume that's probably part of the reason why, given that those are the two primary risk factors for it.
Mm-hmm.
And then, of course, diabetes. Like I said, diabetes sets you up for a number of illnesses, including cancer, kidney failure, et cetera, et cetera. So we have to get rid of diabetes, I don't know if that's why, but that would be my best guess as to why it's more prevalent in men.
When it comes to this information, Doctor, there are some people that hear this, will hear a show like this and jump up and down and kick their heels and be like, I have been waiting for her. You know, I have been truly, I've been praying for her. I've been waiting for her. I've been just, oh, my God, I found what I've been looking for. Then there are others who will hear this information and scoff at it and be like, yeah, well, you know, hey, you know, I'm not down with that. I don't care. I'm still not going to go that way. I just don't, I'm not going to get that vegetarian stuff away from me. I know I don't want to read no article on no on no vegetarian stuff, okay? Just, look, pass me the chitlins, okay? I mean, so what do you say to people who, and caller, I see you up there, I'm going to come to you in 1 second. What do you say to people who have made up their mind that they just are not going to change? I mean, because to change, that is one thing that you do have control of. You can choose to change, okay? It's very empowering. So what do you say to somebody that refuses to exercise, or they're exercising that power, but they're just by deciding not to do it? What do you say to somebody that's just staunch with it? You know, hey, I'm not, you know, go away from me with that. I don't want that info. I'm not going to read the book. No, I'm not going to become vegan. Bye. What do you say to them?
there's still hope. You know, it's a big thing to digest. Well, it's not as hard to digest as probably what they've been eating, but it is it's a big shift. So, you know, first is acknowledging the truth, and then, you know, deciding that you can do this in phases. If you know, and a lot of people just aren't familiar with how good plant-based food can be or vegan food can be. Maybe they've seen somebody who was vegan eating something that looked really nasty, or they had something that was gross and they didn't like it. So they're like, there's no way I can do that. I get it. But there's a whole world of really good plant-based foods out there that are bigger than salads and smoothies. So you just have to educate yourself on that and know that you can eat really well and eat really good food that tastes good, because that's usually the barrier. People aren't willing to go to a nasty diet, and I get it, and that's not what we're asking you to do. So that might be just like, you know, just not having all the information that you need. So I would say just have an open mind and try it and know that the benefit is huge. It's not just, you know, managing your illnesses. We're talking about getting rid of stuff. We're talking about getting off of 10 medications. We're talking about not having to go on dialysis and going down a road to early death. You know, it's just having a better quality of life is what we're talking about. So it's worth the change. And so if you find yourself resistant, it's because you just found information that goes against what you have been taught and you're not maybe ready to make that shift. But just keep an open mind and don't give up.
Okay, you ready to take a call, Doc?
Yes.
Okay. 4356, you're on the air with Dr. Lason. Welcome to Juwanza for Life.
Thank you. Good evening. I just wanted to ask, with regard to risk factors, how does genetics play into it?
Well, it doesn't really play strongly with pancreatic cancer, from what I've understood. But with most illnesses, it only plays about a 10% role or less in all illnesses that are factored because of hereditary things. So only about 10%. That means 90% of disease is because of our lifestyle, what we've been exposed to environmentally, or, you know, through food or stress or whatever. So, you know, if you've had a family member with pancreatic cancer, it's not a sentence for you. It means that you, if you did get cancer, you might get pancreatic cancer, but it does not mean you have to get cancer. It means you should take special note to do something different. But it's really not a super strong genetic link there.
Okay. Answered my question.
Did you have another question, Queen Renee?
No, I think that's just about it. I kind of like dismiss the genetic part also, because my sisters, we were speaking of the fact that we have the hypertension, we have the heart disease, and it was prevalent in my father's family and with my father. And I was telling them, I said, I think it's more lifestyle because we did the same thing Daddy did.
Right.
More than,
exactly.
You know, we're eating the same kinds of foods and we're doing all the same things that they traditionally did. So that's a very strong contributing factor, in my opinion. But I know they say you're predisposed to some things, and I just didn't know. My mother passed from pancreatic cancer, and that was one of the things, you know, the reasons I asked.
Mm-hmm. Right. It is generally because we do what they did, and that's how we get where we get. Not because of the genetic fingerprint.
Okay. Okay, sounds good. And I'm doing good with my. It's been a struggle because I had a stroke and I've had somebody to have to care for me. So to get to the point where it's easy, I think it would be easier if I could do my own meals and things like that. But I'm still very limited. But to get somebody to, you know, do that right. It's been a struggle, but I'm doing very good with it. Oh, I'm so satisfied. And I've listened to you. I've listened to Coy and the other Dr. Carpenter. And so I know that the information is just solid, and I'm doing very well. And Juwanza, I thank him for you all. I really do thank him for being the conduit to get this information out there. I'm living my life.
Thank you, Queen Renee. You meant Dr. Watkins, I believe. You said Dr. Carpenter?
Watkins. Yeah, I said Carpenter. Watkins, yes. Thank you very much. Thank you for that correction.
No, thank you. Thank you. Queen Renee's been with me since the very beginning of me hosting this Blog Talk Radio. I mean, we go back, and she's called in from the hospital. I mean, from the hospital bed to hear the show. I mean, she's very much sold out for this information, and I know that as a result of you listening and acting on what you've heard, it's helped you tremendously. And I pray that God continues to keep you, and thank you so much for your support. It means more than you ever know, Queen Renee.
Oh, I'm all the getting better for it, so we're both benefiting, so. God bless you all.
God bless you.
All right.
Doc, if in the remaining moments, could you talk about empowerment? Because a lot of times people assume, you know, people that are, whether you want to use the word religious or spiritual or whatever, that if something happens, everything that's negative that happens is a result of the devil, end quote, you know. Oh, I got this. The devil put this on me, you know. And then they figure, well, if it's the devil, then I just got to pray, and then that's all I got to do, and God will remove the condition, and then I'll be good to go. But we all know people. We probably know more people that have died with the condition than have gotten healed from the condition, quote, miraculously, end quote. Now, this is not a knock against those people that believe in that. I'm not against prayer. I believe in prayer, and I pray. And I believe that it has its place, and I believe that it works. But, again, I know more people that have died from cancer that got it than those who got it and recovered, and they didn't do anything to change their lifestyle. Could you talk about empowerment, Doc, and how just making the choice to change is empowering, and that's what you teach, is teaching people how to take control, take back control of their lives, and how that in making that empowering decision to do that, then you really put yourself in the driver's seat. Like somebody said once, pray as if everything depends on God, but act as though everything depends on you. Could you talk about that for a moment?
Yeah, sure. I think sometimes we use that as a cop-out because we don't have the energy or the willingness to do what we need to do to make changes in our life. So we go with the, well, if God's willing kind of thing. I was like, God already told us he wants for us to prosper and to be in good health and for us to be happy and to live well. So we don't have to add the disclaimer, if God is willing. He's already said you can have the desires of your heart. He's already said if you have the faith of a mustard seed, you can move mountains. So I don't need to ask the question if God is willing to heal me and give me what I want, right? So that we can just start there with the premise. that, sure, we are given trials to make us stronger, but generally, good health is in the picture of our lives. That's what God has given us, okay? So, and to say, you know, the devil has put this on me, unless the pork chops and the hamburger is the devil, then you probably put it on yourself. You know what I'm saying? So let's not take the onus of this and make it somebody else. The devil did not buy that ice cream and the red velvet cake for every day for a month. You know what I mean? So let's not put the blame on this figure and take the responsibility off of ourselves. That's what we have to do for starters. The responsibility for our health is on us. We cannot give it to the doctor, our nutritionist, or anybody else. You have to be in charge of yourself. You have to educate yourself to that level. We can't rely on anyone else because we've seen that has failed. And the industries that feed us have relied on our ignorance to continue that. So unless you just want to continue to be victim to that, then, you know, that's a little ridiculous to me. We have the power to heal. God has given us a body that knows how to heal. You know, I always say if your body can heal a cut because it knows what to do, because it's programmed to fix stuff, then it can heal cancer, it can heal everything else. We just have to give it what it needs. As I was saying, the reason cancer proliferates and grows is because our immune system is overpowered. If we maintain a strong immune system, then we won't have the cancers. Everybody's got cancer cells in their body. It's whether it's going to grow or not depends on what we do every day. So the power is in our hands, it's in our plate, it's in our mindset. Stop claiming these diseases and calling them our own. And reject that and speak life into yourself. And when you speak life, you tend to do things that give life. So, you know, if you've given up and decided to put your illness off on something else other than yourself, then, you know, you're not really giving yourself a good place to heal from, because if you think somebody else put it on you, then who's going to take it off? We're just going to pray it away. Prayer does work. I prayed a lot when I was sick, but I did a whole lot too. I got inspiration. I changed my diet. Mm-hmm. I changed my lifestyle. I changed everything while praying. So prayer is not the totality of the, you know, of a healing process. We have to pray, ask for wisdom, and then act on that wisdom. And so take responsibility for our successes, our failures, our health, and our illness. That's what we need to do, and realize it's in our hands and not something uncontrolled outside of us. We can change what we put on our plates. I mean, someone said to me they had diabetes, and I told them, how about this, you know, stop eating dairy, and they were sensitive to wheat. I said, I'm going to start slow with you. Just stop eating dairy and wheat for a month, and I bet, you know, you'll start having improved symptoms. And their excuse was, well, I don't have enough money to eat organic. I said, did I say anything about eating organic? I said, stop eating something. Do you need money to not eat something? So I was like, you were just waiting for excuses because you're not ready to make this change. I was like, I didn't even get to the meat yet. I just wanted you to stop eating cheese and milk. Just start there because those are so highly inflammatory and affecting blood sugar so much. And so it was just an excuse because they weren't ready to make any change. They just wanted to keep doing what they're doing and complain about their illness. And I was like, you know what? I can't talk to you anymore. Until you're ready to make a change, I'm not going to waste my time listening to you complain because it's a ridiculous point. So we just have to take responsibility for our lives in every area and know that we have the power. God has imbued us with this power, not to be drones, but to be thinking, active, smart, intelligent people. He didn't give us a brain with all this logic and thousands and billions of neurons for us to just be drones. He gave it to us so we could be creative and live well.
Everybody, this is the voice of wisdom you're hearing, Dr. Ruby Lathan. I told you the show was going to be powerful. You know, Doc, you went out And as a result of what happened in terms of your condition with the thyroid cancer and, you know, curing yourself of thyroid cancer, it started you down a whole new path, one of selflessness, one of teaching, one of serving. And you actually came up with the idea to start a cooking show to show people how, taking away another excuse for those, well, I don't know how to cook vegetarian food, you know, to take away another excuse, you actually show people how to prepare vegan meals. Could you talk about the Veggie Chest and how people can tune into that? And please, if you don't mind sharing your information, because I know people want to get in contact with you after this powerful show. How can they reach you? And could you talk about the Veggie Chest and the motivation behind that?
Sure. It is a whole food, plant-based cooking show where I teach you in about 5 or 6 minutes how to make a healthy dish that's plant-based, that tastes really good. So you can find it on my website or on YouTube. It's called The Veggie Chest. You can just put in The Veggie Chest in YouTube and you'll find it. Or you can go to my website, rubylathon.com. That's RubyLathon.com. And you'll find recipes there that you can download. You'll find the videos. So you've got the video, and then you can download the recipe. And then there's podcasts that we do every week that you can call into, and we'll cover a different topic. So there's a lot of resources there, and people can also email me there and make an appointment with me all on the website, and get more information about the nutrition plans and then upcoming events as well. So so it's all there, and all that's free. Now, the consultations are not free, but there's tons of free resources right there that people can access that I put out there to help people with their journey.
You know, everybody, the choice is yours. I mean, you've heard it, and for some people, you've heard it again. Now, the choice is yours, and you might need to hear it again. You know, I mean, everybody's clock is different. You know, somebody can hear it one time and be like, that's it. And somebody else can hear it. It might be the 25th time, and they'll be like, I'm not convinced quite yet, you know, maybe next show. But, you know, for those who are ready, definitely give Dr. Lathon a call. But that's if you're ready. Okay, don't waste anybody's time. You know, if you're ready to make the change, there are no more excuses. Okay, you have somebody that will coach you, that will show you how to do it, how to prepare the meals, consult with you. You're not listening. You aren't listening to somebody that doesn't know what they're talking about. You could tell from the interview that she knows what she's talking about. She has a better track record than doctors out there who have gone to med school and graduated and they got the plaque on the wall. She's cured herself of thyroid cancer. And I want to say this. You're going to cure yourself of whatever the condition is, because we're not making the claim that Dr. Lathon is going to cure you. You're going to go buy the herbs. You're going to go to the store. You're going to change your diet to a living. You're going to start eating vegetables and fruit, and you're going to let go of the meat and the dairy and the processed foods. You're going to make the change, and as a result of you making the change and following her recommendations, you are going to see results. Dr. Lathon, any parting words for our listeners before I let you? I wish I could talk to you for another hour, but I have to be mindful of your time. Any parting words for our listeners on pancreatic cancer before we go?
You know that, like I said, the power is in your hands, and you can make small changes right now by eating more vegetables, green leafy things, eating better and less processed food, and you're going to have great results, not just with cancer, but with just overall healthiness and quality of life in general. So, you know, don't delay. Don't get hung up on all the details. Just get started and decide that you will.
And surround yourself with people that understand what you are doing and support you in the process, because sometimes you can say, you know what, I'm going to do this. And because, you know, especially when you're first starting out, you need all the support you can get. You don't need to be around people that are going to tell you you can't do it, or I knew somebody that tried that. You need to make sure that you guard your circle. You can't tell everybody what you're doing. You have to just do it, because sometimes when you're just starting out, you're fragile. So the very first time somebody comes along and says something negative, you know, you're like, yeah, well, maybe you're right. You know, maybe they were, what was I thinking about? What made me think that I could actually cure this condition, you know? What made me think, you know? No. If you're just starting on this path, you're very fragile. So definitely make sure you guard your spirit, that you, you know, share what you're doing with people that are going to support you and encourage you, not just anybody, because that's very, very important. My name is Juwan Zatt. Thank you so much for your time. I have an announcement that I'd like to make. Dr. Layton, first let me thank you for your time, my sister. Always an honor to speak with somebody that's changing lives, that's saving lives, and leading by example. We look at the news every day and there's something going on, always something going on, always something going on. People like you need to be on the news, you know. Matter of fact, I did see you on TV1, though. But, you know, people like you need to be on the news. Just with all of the success that you've had in what it is that you're doing, you're making the planet better. And we need more stories like yours to be out there and people to hear what you're doing. And anytime I can help promote what you're doing, I want people to know where you're going to be, when you're going to be there, and how they can reach you. So my airwaves are always open to you. Dr. Layton is a regular on the show, so scroll through the archives and you can hear all of her shows on different topics. Dr. Layton, thank you so much for your time. I really appreciate you.
All right. Thank you for having me. Have a great night.
Thank you. You do the same. Again, everybody, Dr. Layton is a regular. She comes on once a month, and we discuss a different aspect of holistic health. We've talked about everything. I mean, from diabetes to arthritis to erectile dysfunction to women's health, breast cancer, colon cancer. I mean, you name it. Just whatever the condition is, we've talked about it. And all those shows are in the archives. But I want you to scroll down the archives. Wherever you see Dr. Layton's name, all you have to do is just click, and there's a show that's going to be relevant to either you or to somebody that you know. It's important that you share this information, too. Again, share it. All you have to do is just, you can share the link. Everybody, as I mentioned earlier, everybody knows somebody that's got cancer or has died from cancer, okay? There could be somebody that you know right now that's suffering from it. You can share the link to this show, okay? And maybe you can't articulate it the way Dr. Layton did. So just share the link and let Dr. Layton articulate it for herself, okay? So, listen, we've got an announcement to make. Tomorrow, there's going to be a free fall detoxification and the autumn equinox workshop. And that's going to be at the Osirisset Society in Washington, D.C. That's Friday, that's tomorrow, September the 15th, 2017, starting at 6:30 p.m. I advise you to get there at 6, okay? That's going to be from 6:30 to 8. That's going to be at the Synbeb Wellness Complex at 6224 3rd Street, Northwest, Washington, D.C., and the zip code there is 20011. For more information, please call 202-723-5566. Again, that's the Fall Detoxification and the Autumn Equinox Workshop. It is absolutely free. Did I say free? I'll say it again. It's free, and that's tomorrow, Friday, September the 15th, and that's going to be from 6:30 until 8. But what time are you going to get there? You're going to get there at 6, right? From 6:30 to 8. And that's going to be at the Synbeb Wellness Complex at 6224 3rd Street, Northwest, Washington, D.C. Zip code, just in case you need to MapQuest it, is 20011. And if you'd like more information, contact the Osirisset Society, D.C. Gnome at 202-723-5566. Now, there, you can bring children, but if you do bring children, just make sure that they, I mean, you know what I'm saying? Because children can get restless, okay? And they may be doing some meditation. They're going to be doing some Qigong. So, you know, just keep that in mind when preparing to come. Everybody, again, I just want to say thank you so much for your time. You could be doing anything, but you've taken time out of your schedule to spend it with me. Again, I want to make sure that you're aware of the fact that we do have an archives, and with the archives, you can go down there and you can just scroll down and see. We've got shows with Dr. Lathan, Dr. Ted Watkins, Brother Coy Dunstan. We've got shows on spirituality, entrepreneurship. I mean, so it's full of information that you could use. So, again, take the time, take a stroll through the archives, and I guarantee you there's going to be something for you or for somebody that you know. Again, thank you so much for your time. I really do appreciate you. My name is Juwanza. Who am I? I'm the one who, in giving, receives more. Who are you? Peace.